This morning, I want to preach a message to you that I've entitled, The Rest. Let me say that again. The title of my message is, The Rest. And I want to just stop and pray this morning because I really want you to hear God's Spirit today. And I don't want to preach law and legalism today, but I want you to hear what the Bible says about resting. I want to talk to you today about the importance of proper rest, physically, as well as spiritually. So let me pray this morning. Father, I need your blessing. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I want people to understand today the importance of resting. Lord, let those who are joining us by the way of internet and other mediums, Lord, hear this message and hear what you would say to them as well. In Jesus' name. Now, the reality for many people today is this, and I'm going to use figurative language. They're running on fumes. I know that feeling for myself at various times in my life. Or you could word it this way, their tank is empty. How many of you know that God doesn't want this? God doesn't want you and I running on fumes. You know what that's like. If you've ever been on a long trip and you thought, well, we'll go a little further on this trip. We did this. We were in New Mexico or somewhere, and we thought, oh, we've got plenty of time. We were used to being in Texas where, you know, there's gas stations everywhere and cities everywhere. I don't remember where we were at, but suddenly we're out in the middle of nowhere. And I mean, literally, by the time we found a gas station, we were on fumes. It was my wife's fault, not mine, by the way. No, it's just a joke. There's Adam speaking. Did you hear that? Adam. Adam accused Eve, Eve accused the snake. Let's get back to the message. God does have a better plan for you and I today than running on fumes. Now I want to read three verses to you that Jesus spoke to all of us in Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. It says this. Jesus said this. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Am I speaking to anybody today? And he said, "I will give you rest." Turn to your neighbor and say, "This message is about rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you." Did you hear that? Let Jesus teach you. He said, "Because I am humble and gentle at heart." Here it is again. "And you will find rest for your souls." You know, it's our souls that become weary in life. Just you know, doing the routine of life. How many of you, life can be a routine. And if we don't get refreshing, life can become a drudgery. And it's usually in our soul, in our emotions, and in our will where we become very tired. But Jesus said this. He said, "My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I will give you," are you hearing Jesus, "is light." So when I find myself suddenly so burdened by life and just kind of in a mode of drudgery and just thinking, man, I don't even want to get up and do this again, I have to recognize that I'm not resting properly and that Jesus has something better for me, and that really to carry His burden is a light burden. Are you hearing me? The word rest that Jesus used here means to refresh. To refresh. So Jesus said, if you'll come to me, if you're weary and you're a heavy burden, come to me and I'll give you some rest. Well, that is good news in this chaotic world, is it not? Now, Jesus would like the opportunity to refresh all of us today. And I don't know that it's going to be automatic this morning, but at least we can teach you some things about refreshing yourself. He wants to refresh me, He wants to refresh you. However, there are some things that we need to understand. And what I want to do this morning, and I think this is probably going to be more of a teaching than preaching, I want to take you back into the Old Testament, and I want to show you some spiritual truths that I believe carry over into our time. Now, I want to be very clear today. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "Wants to be clear today." I am not teaching you these things so we can go back and start observing the Old Testament law once again. Now, sometimes people hear a teaching, and man, they just seem to take it to an extreme. And the Apostle Paul said to go back under the law is foolishness. In fact, the whole book of Galatians is written to encourage those who started in the Spirit not to go back to the law or legalism, but to keep following the Spirit of God. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, I want to read those to you this morning. And oh, how I want you to hear this message. I almost want to pray again because I want you to hear this message, but God heard me the first time. It says in verse 1, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished His work of creation." Here's what He did. "So He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was a day," here it is again, "when He rested from all the work of creation." Now, the spiritual truth that I want you to see today is this. God worked 6 days, and then He rested on the seventh. Now, in this, God is saying something to us. He's telling me and you that man should work 6 days and rest one. Now, talking about this, when you go back and you think about what Bible scholars tell us, and thank God for good Bible scholars that are filled with the Spirit of God, they make reference to the law of first mention. In other words, when God establishes a truth for the first time, it's called the law of first mention. When God mentions it, how many of you know, hey, listen, my father in the Lord taught me, if it isn't in Genesis, it isn't in the Bible. Every spiritual truth, folks, if you really dig in there, is in Genesis. And so God is saying something here. It's important that mankind understands, hey, if God needed to rest after 6 days of work, guess what, people? We need to rest. This is good news. You see, society today as a whole does not understand this spiritual truth. And I got to say, it's to our own peril. And we are, in our society, paying a huge price for this. We're paying for it in our health. You know, sometimes we're saying, God, heal me, and God's saying, rest. We're paying for it in our families and in marriages. Marriages are being destroyed all over this country today. And not because people weren't meant to be together. It's because they're so darn tired, they don't have time to be married. Now, God in this is revealing one of the most important truths given to mankind. Did you know medical science backs this up and confirms this? Medical science tells us that the human body was designed to work 6 days, but then it must rest, or all kinds of unhealthy things start developing inside of us. Do you know you have a lot of chemicals in your body? And what's happening today with people, because of all the demands and we don't understand the spiritual truth, our bodies are going crazy. Folks, when you get a pain in your body, if your stomach starts hurting after a lot of stress, your body is saying, hold on, brother, we can't handle anymore. You know what we usually do? We usually take a pill, and that's okay. There's a time and a season for that, and that's okay. But sometimes our body is giving us warnings and telling us, hey, I need to slow down. I can't keep up with your brain, man. See, when America still observed the Ten Commandments, we understood this. How many of you know in the Ten Commandments, the third commandment, which deals with really loving God? You know the first three commandments deal with a loving God, and the next ones deal with loving your man, loving your fellow man, loving your man. Did y'all get that, ladies? Loving your fellow man. But the third commandment says this: remember, and I'm here to remind you, to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week, listen now, for your ordinary work. Now, you got to help me. Turn to your neighbor and say, your ordinary work. Come on, everybody, work with me. You'll understand why I'm doing that. Your ordinary work. He says, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. This is the Ten Commandments. He said, on that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male, your female servants, your livestock, and your foreigners living among you. By the way, when we read a lot of these verses today, understand that God is writing this primarily and initially to an agricultural society. The spiritual principles hold true for all of us. And then he says this, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested, and that is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath and set it apart as holy." Wow. I got to be honest with you. When I got the Ten Commandments out and looked at them again, I'm just going to be very real today. There were some of them I had to polish up on a little bit. Not that I didn't know them in my heart or in spirit, but I had to go back and look how God had listed them. This is number 3 on the list. After, "You shall have no other gods before you, and you shall not use the name of God in vain." Boy, wouldn't you like for Hollywood to get that message? Now, God says this, that one day in 7, we should cease from our ordinary work. Now, I thought about this, and I developed a little saying that maybe it will help you remember this message, but here's what I say. You need a break from your ordinary work. If you don't take a break from your ordinary work, you will become ordinary. That's what happens to us when we don't take a break. We become ordinary. In other words, we're just like everybody else. And when we're tired and we're not resting, guess what? Instead of being conformed into the image of Christ, we're conformed to the image of the world. We're just ordinary. You know what that word means? It means second rate, second class. It means inferior. God doesn't want us to be inferior people. He doesn't want us to be second class. But if we don't understand this law of resting, guess what? We become ordinary when we don't take a break from our ordinary activities, our work. That's what the Old Testament has to say, and a lot more. Let's look at what the New Testament has to say in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, then I'm going to read verse 6, and then I'm going to read verses 9 through 11 to save a little bit of time. Here's what it says. God's promise of entering His rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter His rest. Now let me just tell you, he's talking about more than just a physical rest here. He's talking about resting spiritually. You know, sometimes we think that we got to work our way to God. We all struggle with that from time to time, depending on your personality. He's talking about spiritually resting and understanding that you're right with God because of Jesus and you rest in this spiritual truth. But let me tell you, the physical and the soulish rest still applies. Because I've found if you're not resting physically, you're not resting spiritually. Verse 6 says, so God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. God was telling them, you need to rest. You need this commandment. How many of you know the commandments of God are for us? They're for our benefit, not for bondage and burden. They're for us. They're for our own benefit. God knows that, but we kind of take it as God's trying to deprive something from me. Verses 9 through 11 say, so there is a special rest still waiting the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors. Listen now. Just as God did after creating the world. Here's what he says. He continues on. He says, so let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the Lord God of Israel, or as the people of Israel did, we will fail. That's what Scripture says. Listen, folks, the things that we're talking about in this country that will heal this country, we're kind of missing it. It's not, I tell people this, and I don't know why I'm even preaching it again, but folks, it's really not about economy. It's the problems that we're having in this world globally and that we're having in America is a moral problem. You see, when we decided that we didn't need the blue law, and the blue law is, hey, no stores or businesses except hospitals and those that need to be could be opened on Sunday. We decided, no, we got greedy is what we did. And we decided, no, we need more money. the most prosperous nation on the face of the earth at the time, says, no, we need more money. So now we're gonna enslave people. And God forbid the people who put some of you in a position where you've got to choose. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, because we are forced to choose now. You see, according to these verses, we should strive to enter the rest. The spiritual rest, the physical rest, that we should strive to get into a place, and once you get there, then you can rest, and then if things try to crowd it out, then you've got to strive back to get it. He even says that we should fear not entering the rest. It says that really, and I'm giving you kind of the nice version, the New Living Translation version, says we should do our best to enter that rest. We should work at it. He also says that if we disobey, this is what Scripture says, that we're going to have a lot of problems. He literally says we will fail. I think America's failure right now is our failure to recognize God. And there's no need to preach that, but in 1963, I believe I will anyway. Probably not any. But, you know, we decided, God, we don't need you in the schools, and we don't need you, you know, in public places, so get out. If all this is true, then, that I've stated to you, and I'm telling you, I have just mentioned a few things to you. How do we, as God's people, enter the rest? Is there a way, Pastor, for me to enter the rest in this climate and in this world that we live in? Oh, I have a resounding yes for you. But you're going to have to think with a spiritual mind today. You can't speak with law and legalism, and you can't think about God as a demanding God ready to smack you because you don't understand some of these things, or you've not learned how to walk in them. I'm going to tell you how to walk in them. Number one, if you're going to enter the rest, you establish a day that is best for you and your family. Now, you Bible scholars, hold on just a little bit. Don't argue with me yet. Parents, please explain to your family why this is so important. If you're a parent, hey, I guess if you're single, this is pretty easy. You just get together and have a talk with yourself and say, well, soul, what is the best day for us to rest on? Okay, Thursday, we'll take a break on Thursday. But if you've got a wife, if you've got children, you need to include the entire family, and you need to decide what is the best day for you and your family to have a Sabbath rest. You need to explain it to your children. You need to teach it to your children. I got to tell you, folks, I was astounded at how many references there are to the Sabbath and how many promises that there are related to those who honor the Sabbath in the Spirit of the Lord. You need to include your family and your children in this as well. Don't just stand up one day and say, now, kids, Bible says, and the third commandment says, that we're to honor the Lord on the Sabbath, and bless God, we're going to do it. And do you hear me? Well, that'll go over well, especially in our culture today. You will probably have some backlash and some rebellion in your home, starting maybe with your spouse. I don't know. But I want you to remember this, folks. All of us need to set this example to the people around us. Parents, you need to set this example. But hey, folks, we all need to set this example to those that we love and care for. And I want you to remember this. If you don't take a break from your ordinary work, what's going to happen? You're going to become ordinary. Here's literally what the word, I'll say it again, means, the definition. It means average. Man, I don't want to just be average. Come on, guys, we don't want to just be average and just hang out. We know that's not true about us in our heart. It means inferior or second rate. I think you got that when I mentioned it a minute ago. So you got to get the family together. You got to talk about this. And what you're doing is you're making a quality decision, a spiritual decision, to take a break from your ordinary work. Whatever is ordinary, whatever you do when you get up on Monday or your work day, and some of you who are retired saying, dear God, I wish I had a work day again. Well, there's something you can do and that you're doing that you need to take a break from. Your ordinary work, you need a break from it. Something I need to address today, and I want to tell you, I struggled with this one all week long. Because I know the situation that many of you are in, and I know where culture is at. I know where our government is at. But I tell you, folks, there is a sadness in me because there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, when Saturday was considered the day of rest and relaxation and do your things that brought you pleasure. But I'm sad to tell you that in America now, Sunday is now becoming the day of rest and relaxation, and not in a good and a healthy way. You see, I need to be very clear. The Sabbath was designed as a day dedicated not only to rest, dear ones, but to God. To say, I'm going to take a Sabbath, or I'm going to take some time off to rest as to honor this third commandment and not include God. And I'm challenged thinking about this myself. It's not really to observe the Sabbath. I know you'll still love me after today. You may not come back for a few weeks, but I'll have another message for you then. You see, rest at the exclusion of God in church, which is the new philosophy that's prevailing in this country, that has developed, is not a healthy one. Just because America decided that Sunday no longer was going to be honored, then doesn't make it right. You see, we just kind of think because America does something with the exception of a few things, well, then it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's one of the biggest mistakes we made in 1963 when we said you can't pray in school and you can't do all these other things. It was a huge mistake, but it's done now, and I doubt that it will ever reverse. And that's not being skeptical, that's being real. This philosophy that has developed is really harmful to families. It's harmful to our own health. It's harmful to church life. It's harmful to our own work environment, whether we realize it or not. You remember what Exodus 20 verse 10 says? It said, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord God. Everyone needs, if you see the principle in Bible, needs a day where you withdraw from your normal activities, from those things that weary you, and you need to take a rest. And by the way, folks, I want to be real careful. That involves social media. Now, if you kind of do social media for relaxation, that's fine. But if you do it all throughout your week, I'm going to encourage you to take a break. People tell me all the time, now I can do this stuff and it doesn't bother me. Let me tell you, it may not bother you. I think it does if it's what you do ordinarily every day. I want to tell you, then take a break for those around you. Hello, everybody. Come on now. Listen. We were invited to meet a couple yesterday that we needed to meet in Greenville, Texas. They initiated this. They wanted to visit with us. It was a good thing. It was the right thing to do. But for the first 10 minutes, the guy, I don't know if he was nervous or what. I don't think so. For the first 10 minutes, he was texting. Come on, folks. When you're with me, be with me. Amen? I shouldn't preach that. Okay, Jeanette says I should. And listen, folks, I really don't mean this negatively. Listen, I'm getting into this stuff. I'm getting into it. I now have an iPad too. Oh, my God. Jesus, help me. I know some other folks that's getting on. And we have plans in the near future to do Facebook on our church website and Twitter on our website, because that's how a lot of people are communicating. But here's what I want to say to those of you that love it 7 days a week. Not everybody wants to hear, you know, they're hearing from their own friends, and they don't want to hear from all your friends and all their problems and all their, I mean, it's just too much. People who just love Facebook, oh God, they want you to know about the 5 babies that were born and how much they weighed, and you're like, my God, I can't handle any more info. Don't you understand, folks, we are on information overload in America? And let me tell you, we say it's not bothering us, we say it's relaxation. I've been around too many people that are texting all the time, emailing all the time. My God, you can't even make eye contact with them. And you could interpret as that as I'm against all that. I am not. Hello, everybody. Yeah, welcome to Church on the Rock. See, folks, we can ignore this law if we want to, but there is a price to pay. And I will say this, folks, I'm not going to do this, and I pray I don't get too far away from my notes because there's some things I need to say. You could argue convincingly that Sunday is the new Sabbath. You could argue that. I said you could argue that. In fact, I wouldn't call it arguing. You could state it. When was it that Jesus was resurrected? Sunday. You got the idea. He was resurrected on Sunday. And what did the church do when they initially, when the church was birthed? They honored the Old Testament Sabbath, which was Saturday. We're not going back to Saturday, folks. But then they began to worship God on Sundays. You could argue it convincingly. But there is a problem. We live in a nation now that has turned away from the commandments of God. And some of you are saying, what does that do for me, Pastor? I know we've got business people in this church at their companies, and they're called of God to work in those companies, but they demand that their stores and their businesses be open. What about them? Well, here's what I've found. That where we do what we need to do, and we're in the will of God, there is a sufficient grace for us to do that, and God honors that. But I say this to people who have to work on Sundays, and I'm thinking about some of you here who have had to go back into the workplace because the economy has gotten so bad, even in your latter years, and because you stopped working a long time ago, your job skills are minimal, and you've had to go into some companies, and you've had to start at ground level, and they say, guess what? You're starting at ground level. You're working on Sunday. Well, first of all, what I would encourage you to do when you take a job like that, let it be known. I may do this for a season, but not too long after I'm working here, I'm a Christian. I want off on Sundays. Now see, this is where this could turn into a law and get complex. Listen, what I want you to see today is the spirit of this third commandment. I want you to see the spirit of the Sabbath. Maybe it's not realistic right now for you to have a Sabbath on Sundays, then you need one. You need to designate one for yourself. Let me just be real with you. As a preacher of the gospel, do you really think that I get to rest on Sundays? I promise you I don't rest on Sundays. I want to. And even if we go and we do social things with people, guess what? They don't let you rest. When they got you, they want to know where so-and-so is. What's going on there? How come this happened? How's the money in the church, preacher? How's the video thing coming? I don't rest on Sunday. Hello. So what about me? What about you? Well, Tracy and I, years ago, designated Thursday evenings through Friday and Friday evening as a day of rest for us. We get our spiritual things on Sunday, and we decided that. And you know what? You know why I'm preaching this? First of all, God said preach it. Secondly, I recognize that we got away from that. We were going 7 days a week, texting all the time, emailing, I mean, trying to figure out Facebook, trying to figure out all these things. How can we reach the world? And I woke up one day with a, you know how I can relate to that stomach stuff? I woke up with stomach problems. Tracy had stomach problems, and we realized we're not resting. And so what are we doing? We are, which is point number two. You've got to establish this day, but I'm going to tell you, you've got to hold on to this thing with all your might. You've got to be protective of this time. We try our best, unless there is an emergency, to disconnect on Thursday evening through Friday. We try. And we're being a little more demanding of that for ourselves. The negative of all the technology and the access that people have to us and we have to them today is, and I'm talking about all of us, is people can connect with us or contact us at any time. I mean, you can't even go on a vacation now. I have to change my number when I go on vacation. I'm kind of joking. If you got my number, please, I mean this. If you have my phone number and I'm on vacation, please, if it is an emergency, you call me. But if not, please don't call me. Let me rest. What about vacations? What about emergencies? Does Scripture allow for that? Certainly it does. Even Jesus. I mean, the religious guys, Jesus was healing on the Sabbath day, and they said, "What are you doing, Jesus?" He said, even under the law, it allows for a man or a woman to go get his ox out of the ditch. See, we can't make a law out of this, and you can't get so strong with your kids if something comes up on your day of rest and say, "Now, kids, we can't do this," and bang the fist down. But I want to tell you, you better protect it. And you almost, you have to do what he said in Hebrews. You have to strive to enter the rest. It was not easy to kind of reestablish these grounds because we had all kinds of people calling us, and I'm lovingly, as much as I can, saying, "Hey, by the way, if you have my number and you try to get hold of me Thursday evenings, you may not hear from me for a while. I love you, church." Somebody saying, "My God, you're the preacher. There are folks who can get in touch with me." Amen? Oh, man, we went through this last Sunday. How many of you are hearing what God is saying to you? Here's the message I want you to hear. You deserve rest. You don't have to be in slavery to this culture. Do you have to do some things that you don't want to do? Certainly. Thank God for our law officers. I got thinking about it. We've got a lot of people in law enforcement in this church. I'm thankful there are people and law officers who are on the road on Sunday and on other days protecting us. Amen? Because how many of you know if all the law officers went home on weekends or holidays, my God, it'd be mass chaos. Woo, people going, and they'd still try it. 110 and 20 down the road, you know, and these bikers, these crazy bikers, Ken, they'd just be blasting down the road in groups like, you know, like a bunch of hellions. What about people who are in the medical profession? Thank God if I have a problem on Sunday or some other holiday, I'm really glad the emergency rooms are open. How about you? So I'm not trying to make a law here. And God's not making a law. Paul said it. He said, that would be foolish. He said when they tried to put him back under the law of circumcision and start obeying the law, he said, who has bewitched you? We live in a society now and in a country that is a post-Christian country. And so we've got to work this thing out. So what I'm wanting you to hear today is I'm wanting you to hear the spirit of the Sabbath and not the law. But listen to this, Leviticus 26 verses 2 through 12 say this, and here's point number 3. You enter the rest by knowing the benefits of observing the Sabbath. Now, I already stated, I do this a lot and I shouldn't do it. I've already stated, folks, I was astounded, surprised, overwhelmed by how many promises there are to those who observe the Sabbath. I mean, I'm going to read some of them to you in just a moment. It talks about honoring you and placing you on a high place. I mean, there's so many promises, it was unreal and shocking to me, and I don't have time to cover them all. But if you're going to enter the rest, you got to know the benefits of observing the Sabbath. Here in Leviticus 26, verses 2 through 12, listen now. He says, you must keep my Sabbath days of rest. Listen to this now. If you think church and church life and Christianity should be avoided just because you want to take some time off, you're wrong. He says that you keep the Sabbath days of rest and show reverence for my sanctuary, the church. I don't like this new philosophy. It breaks my heart. And then he goes on to say, I am the Lord. God was saying, I'm speaking, and I'm speaking because I'm the one that made the rules. This new idea of, man, just church isn't that important. You know, I need some rest, so I'm going to get away. Hey, if God says you can get away, you can get away, but make sure you know what His Word says. Verse 3 says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commandments, I will send you the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops, and the trees of the field will produce their fruit. Your threshing seasons will overflow with the grape harvest. Again, an agricultural society, but the spiritual truth is here. He says, and your grape harvest will overlap with the seasons of planting grain. You will eat your fill and live securely in your own land. Listen to verse 6. He says, I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep with no cause of fear. I will rid the land of wild animals and keep your enemies out of the land. In fact, you will chase down your enemies and slaughter them with the sword. Now, folks, listen, don't go slaughtering your enemies with the sword. Again, this was a time where it was different. You understand? Do you understand? You understand, okay. I don't want to come and visit you in one of those places. It says, 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. All your enemies will fall beneath your sword. Do I think we should go and battle? People are trying to kill us. Do I believe in war as a nation? Absolutely. You let somebody come again to this nation, I'm going to pick up a sword. Amen? Verse 9 says, I will look favorably upon you, making you fertile and multiply your people. No babies in our house. We'll take grandbabies. I will fulfill my covenant with you. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to clear out the old grain to make room for the new harvest. Listen to verse 11. I will live among you, and I will not despise you. I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. What about these promises? Listen, rain in its due season. Not too much, not too little. Flooding's not of God. Increase of harvest. Peace in the land. God will rid the land of the beast. Honey, you need to claim that over your pretty flowers. God will chase out your enemy before us. If America would just turn to God and begin to observe the Ten Commandments again and observe the Sabbath, we wouldn't have to worry about Al-Qaeda. We wouldn't have to worry about terrorism. It says you'll become fruitful and multiply. He will establish His covenant with us. We will have an abundance of both the harvest. They had an early harvest and a latter harvest. It says He will set His tabernacle in our midst. In other words, we'll know His presence. Folks, aren't you glad we knew and know the presence of God today? God has been here with us. It says He will walk in your midst. We will be accepted by Him. And He will be our God. And we will be His people. I encourage you to go and do a word study on the word Sabbath. Man, go online. There's so much material on the Sabbath, you suddenly realize, hey, faith starts stirring in your heart. You say, I'm going to do this. I need these blessings. I mean, just these. But there's dozens more. You see, when we observe the Sabbath, beloved, we position ourselves to be blessed by God. How many of you have ever heard of the Chick-fil-A Corporation? To this day, they will not open up their stores. If you go to the mall somewhere or wherever and you like Chick-fil-A, I love Chick-fil-A. I could eat a Chick-fil-A sandwich right now with some coleslaw and some waffle fries. Woo! But not today. Because they're not open. You know why? The founder said, we are going to